people are more confused than ever. They see like a clickbaity video and then they're like, but this person said that, like, truly, yeah. Like, I'm just like talking people off the ledge most of the time to be like, hey, let's like limit, you know, what we're consuming, yeah. Because if it's creating any type of stress in you, that's worse than probably what you're actually doing.
Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. My name's Kate.
And I'm Jordan.
This episode, we have a very special guest, Dr. Haley Shaw. She's actually one of the first holistic accounts both Jordan and I followed when starting our crunchy journey. Today, she talks all about why she switched from wanting to study medicine to becoming a doctor of chiropractic and so much more. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's.
All right. Hello, Dr. Haley Shaw. Thank you for, this is actually technically a re-record because we recorded with you like a year ago, but the audio was so bad, we just never released it, but you're back.
I'm so excited. I know. I was like, hey, what happened to our podcast? And you're like, oh, yeah, it didn't load. And I was like, that's fine. We'll do it again.
We had some technical difficulties along the way at the beginning for the first couple months.
Because we have seriously recorded, like, I think, like 15 episodes that never got released. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Yeah. But that's, we still have technical problems. Like today, Mary Kate couldn't hear me, but her computer was on mute. So
yeah. There you go. I thought for sure. Sometimes it's user error.
Yeah, I was like, oh, finally, it's her problem, not mine. And then it was my problem again. So
that's okay.
But tell us about your trip to Italy. You're such a little traveler. You're always on the go.
I love it. I love to travel. We're just kind of getting it out of our system before we settle down a little bit. But it was our 5th anniversary, so we went to Italy. We went to Sorrento. We did Florence, and then we ended in Rome. I would say we saw the Amalfi Coast, we saw like Tuscan region. I would say those were probably my favorites versus Rome was great, but I'm not a city girl and it was just super busy. Like by the end, I'm like, I would a people detox, just like not to be around crowds of people, but it was amazing. I mean, the food, like being able to go out to a restaurant and order, like I eat pasta maybe once a month, once every 2 months. Like I don't eat it. And I definitely don't order it out here because it doesn't make me feel great, but like I could eat that. I could eat anything really that I wanted, which was great. And I feel like a lot of people go there and ball out for that reason. But I feel like I noticed a lot of satiation. Like I was, like I'd eat a piece, like I would eat, you know, a serving, and plus their pasta is like a half of a size portion of ours. I would eat it and I'd be like, I'm good. I don't need
garden over there.
Yeah, right. It's not like endless breadsticks and endless pasta. Like what I've realized is American Italian is very different than Italian. There's not a lot of fried stuff. I mean, there's some, but not a lot. I mean, chicken parm is not really on the menu over there. And we think of America, like Italian here, and that's a big, big one. But yeah, I mean, it is a huge testament. You hear everyone say, I went over to Europe and the food quality is so much better. And granted, like we eat really healthy. Like we get everything from the farmer's market. You know, I'll do like an organic einkorn or sourdough. So I don't feel like crap when I eat here at home, but if I were to eat out for 9 days here, I would not have felt like I felt there, which I think is pretty amazing. Like that's the gold standard across the board there. Like you could go pretty much anywhere and feel good.
Wait, why do you think you felt like so satiated?
I was trying to figure that out. I feel like one, I was probably eating slower. Like I didn't have a to-do list. They're not in a rush there. You know, in America, it's like we finish and we're like, you know, banging the credit card on the table, like check, check, check. Like they're like, we're not coming over to you. Like it's very slow. It's not rushed. So I feel like I was able to eat for 20, 30 minutes versus like sometimes here I'm like, okay, we got to eat. Then we got to walk Tala. Then we got to go in the sauna. Then we got to do all the things. And it's like, why am I in a rush? You know, no wonder like I feel like I could keep eating because I'm rushing. I feel like that was a big portion to it. Like just, I can just eat for the simple pleasure of eating with my husband in a beautiful place that we don't have, you know, a whole schedule. I feel like that was a big portion of it. So I'm trying to bring a lot of the mindfulness back here to be like, okay, obviously we don't eat in front of screens or whatever, but trying to eat slower, more mindfully, all the things. And it does make a big difference. I also just, that was like the main thing that we were most excited about was for the food. So I was like, I didn't want my meal to end because we're foodies. I mean, we love food. and especially to be able to eat things that like we don't typically eat, but have them be made with amazing ingredients. Like we were really savoring that. I mean, I feel like, yeah, we weren't weight training. There's not a lot of gyms. Like we worked out literally one time. I mean, generally that's something we do every day. I feel like that slightly maybe made me like less hungry, but I mean, we got 20,000, 30,000 steps every single day. So I feel like that made up for it. So I don't know. Like, I just feel like I wasn't stressed. Mm-hmm. So I probably was a lot more satiated.
Yeah, also, I feel like their food is probably way more nutrient dense.
That's true.
I mean, obviously the pasta, like I just feel, like our enriched, bleached,
right,
folic acid filled pasta versus this homemade, no glyphosate free, all of that. I wonder
right.
if that
like organic is the standard over there. Like I don't have to be like, hey, is this weighed with organic wheat? They'd probably look at me and be like, what the hell are you talking about? They don't spray their crops and as like we do. And so, yeah. And I mean, like all the volcanic ash that's in the soil there. I mean, people say the tomatoes are amazing over there. I mean, they're not joking. I mean, it is very different taste wise. Like everything tastes very fresh, and again, like we eat stuff from our garden, we eat stuff from the farmer's market here, but just like the soil itself being like, I don't have volcanoes in New York, which I'm not complaining about, but I mean, I think that is a testament to a lot of their nutrient density for sure.
Also, that reminds me, I personally just don't agree with if you eat whole foods, you don't need supplements, because it's in America, you guys. Our soil was purposely depleted of everything. So even if you're eating, your fruits and your veggies and your meats, it is nowhere near like the nutrient dense level of an apple is nowhere near what it used to be, 30, 50, 100 years ago. It's just not. So I hate when people are like, get your vitamins and your nutrients from real whole food. Don't waste your money on supplements. Like, you should be at least taking minerals, because
100%
we don't have any. Where are you getting your minerals? Because they're not from the soil.
And then let alone someone who's doing their best on a whole food diet, which we should be. I mean, that should be like the gold standard of what we strive for. But then we live in a modern day world. Think about how stressed we are. Think about the go. Think about like just even the things that we do that are healthy, like we sauna, we exercise, all these different things that are great, but still deplete minerals and vitamins. Like I was still taking my prenatal or dailies, like when I was over there, just because we're walking 30,000 steps every day, like I'm getting nutrient dense food, but I still wanted to make sure, and flying, the stress of flying, time change. There's so many things that put extra stress on my body. So I always like to take stuff like that just as an insurance. Yeah. I mean, the water, I will say, if you got water there, it's all mineralized. Like it's all, you think of like the San Pellegrino, whatever. So we used electrolytes maybe 3 times, like on travel days and the day I think that we worked out. But other than that, like we just, you could tell in terms of the water, like it was very hydrating. But yeah, I agree. Like just because you eat whole foods here in America or anywhere, there's still so many things that deplete it.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought you were going to say something profound for a second. You were like,
no, I was going to go on my rant again about minerals, but then I stopped myself. It was going to be annoying.
I was going to ask about the water, but then
peeves. Yeah. Because I feel like even like moms who are prioritizing the organic snacks and the foods and stuff, I have so many moms tell me like, but my kids won't eat meat, or they have these sensory issues. And I posted this on my story the other day, but I'm like, have you tried minerals? Because I swear that is the missing link to so many things. And it's so easy to add in. I don't even have a coat or anything, but I use the biofulvic ones, and they don't have a taste. Like you can just like, shoot it in your kid's mouth. And like, I know friends who have kids with autism, and she added in minerals even just for a few weeks, and her daughter started talking. Like it's not a coincidence. It's like everyone is depleted in minerals. Mm-hmm. And that's my rant for minerals on the day. I wish I had a code to link.
And I mean, you need them for everything. You need them for your detoxification. You need them for hormone building. I mean, your metabolism, your energy. I mean, there's so many things. And so to think that we don't need them, or to not prioritize them, is
or to take them out of all of our drinking water. And I wonder why they're doing that.
Right. Someone, multiple people. So we did copper piping in our new house because
I saw that.
We literally hired a third party holistic home, like certified gal, to tell us what we should be putting in our homes. I had so many people in my comments being like, oh, you did a reverse osmosis, it's going to break your copper pipes. Like, why would you ever do that? And like all these things, and I'm just like, can we just shut up for a minute? And it's just, I'm like getting so tired of people on the internet like always having something to say, and I'm just like, you don't think that my certified holistic home gal thought of that? Like, obviously, right. we remineralize the water, obviously we get the pH checked. Like, I need everyone to just calm down.
That wouldn't have been my first thought, is that that would break down copper pipes.
Me either. But I mean, I talked to my holistic home lady about it when we were choosing copper, and she said, yeah, that could happen if you weren't remineralizing it. But
so you're remineralizing like before it even runs, as it's like running through the filtration. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We went with the Enivive, and it was expensive, but like she said, it was like one of the best. So we just did it because I'm in Iowa, and Iowa has the highest levels of glyphosate. So I was like, and then people were pissed at me for doing a whole home system because they're like, that's such a waste of water. And I'm like,
no, it's not.
I live in Iowa, so I'd rather waste the water and not get cancer from the glyphosate that's going into my shower and my bathtub than...
I would argue you waste less water because the water that you're using, I mean, it's not like you're just going to be running the faucet to run the faucet.
Exactly. I just think people are just annoying, and I'm honestly kind of over being on the internet.
That's fair. Honestly, I feel like that's crazy. So many people ask me, like, what about home filtration? Because I have just a standalone unit, and people are like, well, what about home unit? And so I feel like that's what a lot of people, from what I'm hearing, what they want.
Yeah.
I feel like if I were to, like, our forever home, if it's not this, like, I would probably do that. Because, yeah, then you don't have to buy the shower filters. I mean, you don't, you know, it's just so much easier.
Wait, am I an idiot? Why is it a waste of water?
I don't know.
I didn't understand. Oh, okay. I just would read comments, and I'm just like, I can't even. Because it's like, even with like our home, like I never said like I built the perfect healthy home and everything in it is perfect and, you know, non-toxic. It's like, I'm just sharing like bits and pieces of like little things that I could afford to do within my builder's comfortability. Scope. Yeah. Because like, for example, I wanted wool insulation. He was like, I can't use that. I've never used it. And like, I don't feel comfortable. So I was like, okay, no problem. Like, I don't want you to install something you're not familiar with. But it's just, I hate sharing things that we did for our home on the internet because people are just like, yeah, well, I see in the background that you have XYZ. So it's just a waste. And I'm just like, me building my healthy home, I had in mind, like, this is just a lifestyle. So I did things I could afford. Just like sometimes I don't buy all organic because it's, but that doesn't mean I should just go buy Doritos just because I can't. It's just, can everyone touch grass a little bit?
I feel like some people put experts or people like in the, you know, attention on such a pedestal of, oh, well, if she preaches non-tox and she has anything anything slightly toxic, that's not good. But it's, I don't think anyone is a purist. I mean,
I can't think of
Does everybody fly on an airplane? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. You know, like we're exposed to stuff that we wouldn't lovingly have. Like I wouldn't love that much radiation in my home, you know, but I'm going to get on an airplane and go to Europe because I want to go places.
Yeah, exactly. And same with like, I've said, like I get x-rays at the dentist, like once every few years. That's important. Like, why would I not do that? It's just,
and it's such a small dose in comparison to like, depending on what they are. And honestly, there's so many offices that do it very conservatively.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. Cause it's, well, what are you doing? Is the person telling me these in my comments? Are you perfect? Or are you trying to take a jab or.
But I think that's where the health and wellness industry is honestly getting pretty toxic is.
Yeah.
It's not as fun to be in anymore. Cause it's not just, hey, come and be on this journey with me. It's, well, you're not doing your journey the way that I would have done mine. So, well, that's fine. Like I'm here to just like maybe help inspire or help show you ideas. You might not be on the same wavelength as some things that I am, but like we can all learn from it. Like, I feel like the second that it gets kind of like that dividing and biasness, it's defeated its purpose, which is unfortunate because that's not the reason that any of us got in this space to begin with.
Yeah. It's like almost like scary to post things because you like, you're going to get lambasted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's it's intimidating sometimes, but no one's perfect. Right.
Hopefully. No one.
Yeah. Well, the ones that really irk me are the people who are like, I'm off the grid. I'm like, you're on your cell phone right now. You're not off the grid. The grid. What are you talking about?
You might not live near a bunch of other people, but I mean, you're connected. Yeah. It's not a competition.
No.
Yeah. Everyone just do your best. Right. Nobody's judging you. Nobody. And my thing is like people, I'll say I do something and people comment and be like, well, I don't do that. So am I a terrible mom? I'm like, I don't even know who you are. So I don't know the type of mom you are. Like you're telling me info because you feel insecure. Like I never My goal is to never get on the internet and be like, yeah, I want to make moms feel like shit for one
no,
thing.
Like you created your account to give people swaps and to help, like to share your journey really that you were on, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. If I've learned one thing from the internet, it's that people, I feel like I can tell who was just like a miserable person in high school and college by like how offended these moms get over just like the smallest things. Cause it's, I don't think any Instagram influencer is ever, I would assume, getting online and being like, I want to make these people feel like crap about themselves. But it's like everyone just takes things so personal nowadays. I'm just like, I can't imagine, you know.
I can think of a few accounts that do that. The accounts that like take videos like yours or mine and stitches them, and that's their whole account is like basically rough on others. Yeah. Those are the ones that I would say they need a nervous system check, but everybody else, I would agree. They're just doing their best.
What's the food scientist gal's name?
She's blocked. I don't even know.
I forget her name, but she just, that's her whole personality.
Oh my
just,
gosh.
Like, taking everyone's videos and stitching them. And
it makes me nervous. Like when I go to people's pages like that, I'm like, that's sad. You know, I feel bad for you.
You literally, I forget what her name is. She's blonde, I think.
Well, the craziest part too is their the accounts like that, their followers in the comments are like, oh yeah, like they just rile on top of each other. Oh, they're idiots. This and that. Thanks for sharing how stupid these people are. And I'm like,
this is not healthy for anyone.
Yeah. Well, my whole thing is if you are a grown adult and you are getting on the internet and you see a video that triggers you and you feel the need to comment something nasty, I'm just like, I can't even imagine being that miserable and unstable.
No.
Whenever I see these mean comments, I'm just like, you have to be out of your mind unstable to be thinking that it's okay for a grown adult with a fully functioning brain to be commenting these things. Like, it's actually insane. I'll see like 40, 50-year-olds, even like 30s, near 20s. I'm just like, I cannot imagine being that, keep it to yourself.
Let's try some breath work. Let's try going outside. This is basically a podcast episode of like how to teach people how to act on the internet.
Yeah, literally. I can't even deal.
Well, because it's hard. You know, it's frustrating because it makes it hard to want to show up when like our whole premise of doing all of this, all of us, was we want to help people. And it's hard. Jordan, like you had mentioned, sometimes I don't want to show up. I don't want to create content when it's like, what am I going to get?
And everybody just wants, if something doesn't resonate with someone, they're like, well, that wasn't my experience or that. And it's just now I feel like I have to put like a
disclaimer
for everything. And I'm just like, guys, if it doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to you. Move on.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, you like Dr. Haley, you were the first person, both me and Mary Kate found that were like kind of like changed our lifestyle. So like you help people on the flip side too. Yeah. So then
that's the most rewarding part. Yeah. That's the most rewarding part. And like, there's a lot of hate that, you know, I'll get, but then the amount, and I don't even like to share stuff like that, but sometimes I'm just like, this is wild how people act. So let me just put it out there to be a reminder, please don't be this person. And if you are, don't be here. But like the amount of people who always come in and be like, no, like this, you help me more than like another practice, whatever. That's always what feels good is, and you know, for both of you too, it's imagine the people who like how you've made a positive impact on. I mean, that's obviously why we do it at the end of the day.
Yeah, those, I have to remind myself of that because like, I feel like the more time I spend on the internet, the more things don't get to me, but I just notice more hate.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I get one hate message to, you know, 100 messages saying, you literally saved my life.
100%.
And then I'm like, okay, this is why I do it. It's so satisfying. I think I just need to like, stop focusing on.
I know, it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
It's hard, but it's worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm really good at just like letting it go, but then other times I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to delete my account. And then I'm no, rein it in. Yeah, calm down.
Don't do that.
Okay, tell everybody like your background a little bit. Like what got you into this space and what you do now?
Well, it's so funny because I originally thought I wanted to be a pharmacist when I was going to college. I like went to my undergrad with the sole purpose of I was going to do my undergrad and then go to their pharmacy program because I was always interested in medicine. Like it was always fascinating to me, like a drug would interact with something and fix something, right? Or like how people would feel on it. And like, I knew you could make a lot of money. So I was like, okay, that's cool. And I was always interested in science. And so I went to school. It's funny because Nick and I were just reminiscing on that experience, you know, how hard undergrad was for me, like with the transition. I just wanted to play softball. I wanted to party. I didn't care about school. And so I struggled in the beginning. And really then after that quickly realized, like, I don't want to be a pharmacist. Like, that was not, like, I was always very interested in nutrition, always very interested in health, you know, being an athlete. So my junior year, I changed from chemistry, major to bio. So then after that, then I was like, I'm going to go to chiropractic school because I hurt my back really bad. I was like, I was squatting and I was overtraining in the middle of our season. And I hurt my SI joint, and at Fisher, where I did my undergrad, St. John Fisher, we had chiropractors come in and rotate. And so I went and got treated. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not anything that I thought that it was. I thought it was someone who is going to break my back. Am I going to be paralyzed? Like, really quickly learned that that's not what it is. And, you know, just for like them being able to, you know, treat me, and then I could go out and do what I need to do. And I didn't have to pop a bunch of Advil or have a lot of medication. So I changed my path to that, went through chiropractic school right out of undergrad, but always knew I wanted to do nutrition too. And our program also had a master's of applied clinical nutrition. So I did both side by side, because that was always a huge part. Then COVID happens. I graduate in 2019 in November. The world shuts down in March. I open my business in January. Nobody's coming in, you know, because the world's shutting down. But I had my nutrition background, and I was doing a lot of fitness and nutrition coaching online even throughout school. So I was like, okay, well, let me lean into the online space. Let me see how this goes. Let me do a bunch of, you know, functional continuing education. Let me do some hormone training, because I was going through my own journey of post-birth control. My skin was a wreck. My cycles were irregular. So I was like, let me heal myself, and then I can help other people do the same thing, and I'll just kind of share about what I'm learning. So then as I'm going through that, my mom's also going through her breast cancer journey, which was, you know, I'm like very like into the weeds on figuring out, okay, like this is all the ways that our body can heal from chronic illness. And this is how, you know, this is how these different diseases manifest and why, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like really like finally saturated in information that, not that I wanted to learn, but, you know, like when you go through school, you learn what you have to learn, and then you can get out and you can kind of specialize into what you like. So COVID was like a blessing and a curse at the same time. We're also planning a wedding during this time. Our wedding gets rescheduled for two different times. Then it gets canceled. I'm still trying to run my business. I find out the same day that our wedding venue we could only have 50 people, no dancing, nothing. Literally get off the phone with the vending person, and my mom calls me and tells me that her cancer spread everywhere. You know, she's terminal. And so like, I'm double devastated. I'm like, how am I going to plan a wedding? I don't even want to plan a wedding at this point. I literally just want to climb up to the top of Whiteface Mountain in Lake Placid, and I want to just get married. And I just was so, my nervous system was, I think, quite literally on its last leg. So that was like in August. It was like 2 weeks before my birthday. And then in 2 months, we planned a whole wedding again. You know, and it's just, anyways, so yeah, like 2020 was like truly my year of like resilience. And then 2 months after our wedding, like we're in our honeymoon phase, you know, supposed to be and it was, I mean, we love each other, but you know, my mom passed away. And so being able to close the door on quite literally a whirlwind of a year. And then that kind of, it was crazy, because after that happened, I was like really kind of fully immersed kind of in this realm and in this space. And it was really quite a journey. But it was funny, because on our flight, I was chatting with a woman next to me, and she was asking about this, and I kind of like gave her the whole spiel, and she's like, you guys should have done like a whole month in Italy. And I was like, I know. Yeah. Like we deserve that, but I'll take the 10 days. But anyways, yeah. So that's kind of like my story in a nutshell. And here we are.
What's crazy is, so I, both Jordan and I have followed Dr. Haley for like years, years and years and years. She was one of the first accounts I ever found, and I think that Jordan ever found, that was like in the holistic space. Because the end of 2018 is when I had my son. And then I, like, 2019, the beginning, is when I started dipping into the holistic world, because Western medicine was just screwing me nobody had answers. And I remember I found Haley's account, and it's so crazy now, because it's like, now we're friends. And I literally just, it was before I started my account. It was before I got big. Like, it was just.
Yeah. You know, did you want your personal account?
Yeah. It was on my personal account, and I was like going to, I had paid you to, I did like my Dutch tests with you, and I was like doing stuff. And then, yeah. And then I like dipped into the social media world in 2023. And it's just so crazy, because now I feel like we're literally like friends. I know. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Social media is also amazing for that too. Like I've been able to meet so many incredible people because of it.
Yes, exactly. And it's so nice to feel like you have people in your corner because in your real life, it can feel, at least for me, when I first started, it felt so isolating. Mm-hmm. So, and like people would like, you know, you get gaslit and you get told you're being weird, but it's then you go to the internet and you have this safe corner of people that you're like, wow, I feel validated. And yes. And it's just, it's so cool. That is probably my favorite part. One of my favorite parts of the internet is you just meet the most amazing people. And same with like me and Jordan, I would just, we just both randomly followed each other. And now we're like best of friends, talk all the time. And it's just so
anyway, nice. You know, you guys have this podcast. Yeah, it is really just cool how it brings that's how Anna and I met, my business partner for the retreats, for people who don't know. And like now when we get people, like all these girls in the space, like for our last retreat, literally everyone comes together. Hi, nice to meet you. Do you do coffee enemas? You know, it's just so funny like how it's like you just fully can be your 100% self. Like you don't feel like you just cut through all the bull crap of the small talk and stuff. Do you do red light therapy? Which one are you using?
Yeah.
You know, it's just funny like how you can, like you said, like you feel seen.
Yes, exactly. Jordan, we need to do one of their retreats sometime.
Oh my gosh. I want to do your retreat so bad, but I live in Oklahoma and I have to take trains, planes, and automobiles to get to you. And it's 3 flights for me to get to your retreats. God. Yeah. So I'm like,
that's why
it's so hard to get there.
Rochester one or the one in Canandaigua? Because Rochester is usually only 2 flights.
I don't know. Oklahoma's got 5 places they fly directly to. I have to take flights to get, like, I'm going to Washington next week and I have to take 2 flights to get to Washington State. So, yeah. I don't know. But otherwise, I would love to go. It would just take me a week to get there.
Okay, my question for you is, this is one of the most fascinating things for me, is I feel like people who go into chiropractic care, at least, okay, so I live in Davenport, Iowa, which is like where chiropractic school was founded, Palmer.
Right.
And it is so fascinating to me to watch people go in there. Like you said, you know, I was dabbled with Western medicine. Mm-hmm. Like I thought that was my route. And then I went this way to see people go so polar opposite, you know, pro Western medicine to, not saying you were super pro Western medicine, but a lot of people I see is they go super pro Western medicine to literally anti-vax. And I think it just blows my mind. And maybe people don't like the term anti-vax, but you question what.
Yeah, you start to question things. And I will say it depends on where you go to school. Two, I feel that makes a difference. Like Palmer, I think, is definitely like a little bit more open to stuff like that than ours potentially was. Like I think of like people I went to school with, and they're not on the same crunchy page, which is fine. I mean, we all practice slightly differently, but like, not all chiropractors are super crunchy.
I feel like that's the standard. Like
and I think that's why so many people are confused, because we're like, very diverse across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go to a chiropractor here in my town, I know that it's just like a safe place that you know, they're anti-vax, you know, that they're like, let's get to the root cause. So that's interesting to know that not all chiros are the same.
I mean, obviously, like a lot of people, like there's a lot of us that, question. But then there's a lot. Like I look at what some did, you know, during 2020, and I was like, we don't have the same like scientific method, you know, questioning, which is fine, which is like totally fine. But I can see how like then some people can be very confused, you know. And that's why I say, like, with chiros or with anything, like you got to find one that kind of fits. Like I think about that with acupuncture. So there's some that are like very traditional Chinese medicine, and then there's some that are kind of like more modern. There's some that are you know, kind of a blend. And I think of kind of us as the same. There's some that are very like traditional, you know, nervous system support. There's some who are very like, you know, kind of almost sports medicine, which is totally fine. Yeah. You know, they'll work for, like, I think of, you know, a lot of the ones that work for like the NFL, the MLB, they're kind of more, you know, very strict, kind of like musculoskeletal, not as much, like, you know, we're rebalancing the nervous system, like blah, blah, blah. And I feel like I kind of like, I'm like, I see, like, I definitely treat a lot of musculoskeletal stuff, but then like, I see a lot of nervous system stuff too. Yeah. So it kind of goes both, but we're very diverse. That's for sure.
I think it took me like 4 or 5 chiropractors till I settled on one. But like, well, because some of them too, like they just like shuffle through patients. It's like 5 minutes that you get on the table and then you go lay on this like massage bed or something, and then that's it. But like some of them like actually are like true one-on-one patient care where they're like, they know you and it's like continual.
Exactly. And that's a more hustle high practice. Like a lot of the high volume practices, like they're seeing, you know, hundreds of patients a week. I saw a mix of chiro and functional yesterday, and like I max out at 8 because some of my appointments are an hour, some of my appointments are 45 minutes. Like I have to have the time to read over your intake or read over your lab. So, I mean, there's a big difference in that. But those people can take insurance, and I wouldn't make a living if I took insurance, because they wouldn't, you know, it's not the same. That's why they cycle through, like, they could see 100 in a week. I mean, my body would quite honestly fall apart.
Yeah, it makes so much sense, because I go to, there's two Kyles I'll go to. Like, I just want a quick adjustment in and out, and then, like, my more thorough, like, nervous system, Webster certified, like, all of that. Yes. But the person that we see when we're, like, we're in a rush, I'm not kidding, you'll schedule an appointment for 9 a.m. and there's seven people in for the 9 a.m. slot. And he takes probably like 30 seconds to 1 minute, and you're just in and out.
And some people really want that. And I feel like that's great for people who just want to be able to go in, and it's just like you go in and get a coffee, you know, you want it to be that quick. But I find the people who gravitate towards me are very similar. Like, you want to establish a relationship. You want to, you know, because there's so many things that I find in people's lives as we get chatting and as we're working on things where I wouldn't know that if I only saw you for 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And can we talk about too, I know you just put this just happened to you. I'm sure it happens to you a lot, but like people don't consider chiropractors doctors. And that's like my daughter, I don't like saying it online, but she's never been to an actual pediatrician. Like we've gone to a chiropractor for her care since she was born. And that's like her primary care provider is her chiropractor. So it's, in my mind, that's her doctor. Why do people think you're not doctors?
I really don't think that people, I think people think that I just went to like some weekend certification at a Hilton and learned how to adjust people.
I
can crack backs now.
Like you have to have an undergraduate degree. So that's 4 years. You have to have obviously certain prereqs within that degree, you know, mostly science classes, organic chem, biochemistry, all the things. But then like it's 3.5 years of constant school. Like we get like a 2 week break in between trimesters where I'm taking anywhere from 25 to 28 credits a trimester. And I don't think the amount of mental breakdowns, I think what gets me is my nervous system needed chiropractic care when I was in school. It's tough. There's weeks where you've got a neuro exam, you got a biochem exam, and you know, you also have to go to your classes on top of that. And you've got 6 exams in a week, and it's hard, but I mean, it's the same thing. Like if you kind of boil it down by credit hours, we take almost the same, if not more anatomy than certain MDs. We get way more nutrition. There's a lot of people who I went to school with who don't use any of their nutrition. Like I saw them, they're all playing on their iPads during the class. They weren't paying attention. They still got the nutrition. We get about, I think it's 10 or so credits of nutrition. Not a ton, but like I took at least 3 to 4 and then like a few electives and then on top of my master's. So like we get that versus medical schools that nutrition is not a requirement at all.
Isn't that insane? And people are always like, I'd rather trust my doctor than trust a, you know, a chiropractor or a what. And I'm just like, do you know how much nutrition they got in school? And
they didn't have to get any.
Yeah. And same with the vaccine things. Like, I think they said they get like a day and a half or something, like something just microscopic compared.
And they don't learn the ingredients or
I didn't even get that in chiropractic school. It wasn't until I got out to be like, aspartame's probably not, you know, something that should be in my protein. That was all, that honestly was on my own. So when people say, oh, you don't have to be a doctor to read ingredients. Cause like even the healthy ones, like the ones where like we're in a more holistic realm, like we don't necessarily get a lot of that either. I mean, a lot of the biochem stuff, biochem was the class that convinced me, like, I don't need to be on birth control because of, like, how many depletions we get. So it was cool to take, obviously, what was going on in your body, but to be like, this is what's happening in your patients. These are the depletions that are happening. And, like, I was very fascinated with that. We take 4 sets of required boards. I took a 5th physiotherapy so I could, you know, rehab and stuff. But if that doesn't make somebody a doctor, I don't freaking know what does.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I feel like people just, no matter what your credentials are, they do not care if you don't.
No, you could be an MD, and if you don't agree with them, they're going to find some way to pew-pew it. So it's like, you can't win.
I was literally just thinking while we were talking about this, Dr. Paul Saladino, carnivore MD, he got just obliterated by this woman. She's like, you don't know anything about, you're a doctor of psychiatry. And he was like, I'm a doctor of medicine. Like, I take it upon myself to read things and understand how they work. And she's, you don't know anything about nutrition. You're giving food advice and blah, blah, blah. And he's
like, neither do you. Neither does the host. Yeah. She didn't get any nutrition training either.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It is just crazy. But I feel like a lot of it just boils down to people are always just going to find a way to dismiss things. But in terms of that, yeah, like we get that a lot. It's interesting. One of my colleagues, she wrote a school. So because we took one of our hardest courses was imaging, like reading x-rays, like thorough diagnosing that. And one of my colleagues here in the area, she wrote a school note to her to one of her patients, you know, she had a stress fracture and she needs to be out of gym class because she has a stress fracture. And the nurse like ripped it up in front of her and his chiropractors are not doctors.
Oh, and I'm like, gosh.
In what world? Like, we're so used to just being crapped on. We're like, okay, whatever. I'll take some like Karen's comment online. Like, that's fine. But like a school nurse in front of, like, how inappropriate.
Yeah, that's insane. People just it's just like something going on in people's.
No, it's a huge.
It's like a mental illness, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
I even noticed, like, when I was in physical therapy, my physical therapists were like, chiropractor, sometimes, no, not so much.
Which is interesting because they also now want to adjust people. And I'm like, that's weird. So you can go take a weekend adjustment course. But like, I spent 3.5 years learning how to do that.
The crazy thing also,
which I have nothing.
Like,
I love physical therapists. Like, I have nothing wrong, but I don't understand their beef, you know,
they're
like,
beefing. With you guys.
Why can't we all just like, why can't we all just want to help people?
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Didn't everyone go into these practices because the goal was to help people? Not. Yeah. And I feel like even doctors themselves, you'll say one, you know, this doctor told me this, and then the next doctor would be like, that, why would they tell you that? Like, where'd they, and it's just,
there's so much confusion. I feel bad. I honestly feel bad for people nowadays because, like, people are more confused than ever. They see, like, a clickbaity video, and then they're like, but this person said that, like, truly, like, I'm just, like, talking people off the ledge most of the time to be like, hey, let's, like, limit, you know, what we're consuming, because if it's creating any type of stress in you, that's worse than probably what you're actually doing, you know? And I feel like, honestly, shame on us if it's doc, you know, people have been like, who told you? But if there's someone that comes to me and they're like, you know, this is what someone told me, say it's the most outlandish thing I've ever heard. I'm not mounting a big nervous system response because guess what? That does nothing except for make the person in front of me feel horrible.
Mm-hmm. That's how
that doesn't make me feel or look any better. I'll be like, oh, that's interesting, you know? Like, maybe, you know, try to get where they're coming from, but this is my opinion on it. What do you think? I don't know. That just is an Enneagram 8. Like, you'd think I'd be really confrontational. I don't like confrontation and I don't like drama. So like, I definitely don't want that in. Unless it's Real Housewives. That's not my drama. I'm like doing patient notes and it's like in the background, like, this is how I decompress.
Me too. But that's how I feel about people like vegans. They're hardcore vegans and telling everybody meat's bad. And I'm like, we're all having the same goal, right? And that's to feel good. So if it's working for you, that's great. But don't be saying to other people like this is the only way, because that's not one size fits all, right?
Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of like dying out a little bit. Honestly, that was really big a few years ago from what I remember. Maybe they just aren't around my orifice anymore, but like, I feel like a few years ago is if I posted about the Beyond Burger or something, I was like, I'm going to get someone in here. This is going to be good. I don't feel like I get that anymore.
That's good.
Yeah.
Which is good. Maybe we've all just realized like, just cause you don't want to eat meat, that's okay. Make sure you supplement with your B12. Make sure you get your supplements in because you need them, but like, you just leave us alone.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever. Okay. And you've created a drink. Do you want to, it's the 1 year anniversary coming up.
Yeah. 1 year anniversary of the Suna Wellness Elixir. Yes. So that was also a wild ride. Like a month into launching, we got a cease and desist. We were Synergy Wellness Elixir because where my office is and like our wellness headquarters, Synergy Social Wellness. So we were like, oh, let's just make it kind of off of that. Well, GT's Naturals didn't love that. Understandably so. I didn't realize the Synergy was trademarked. That was my fault. So then we changed it to Suna. Suna's the goddess of the sun. We love the sun. I mean, name something more that I love. I can't. So like, how much better is that? So we did that. And then we're hoping to come out with some more flavors in 2026. It's not either of our full-time gigs. So, you know, like putting that out and getting that running was a lot, but we're kind of in line with our manufacturer and which is my business partner's husband. He's our formulator. So it's nice that we have someone so close that we can work on stuff like that for. But it's just, we both stopped drinking. This year will be 3 years. Yes. Yeah. 26, 23. And so we were like, it's just hard to find a clean option. It's hard to find something that, again, I'm not a purist. I still will drink a poppy that has natural flavor. I'll still drink them, but I was like, you know, this doesn't really exist where there's not something that it doesn't have natural flavor. It just tells me exactly what the ingredients are, that if I wanted to make it a mocktail, great. If someone just wants to have it as a canned sparkling beverage, they can do that too. I had someone at a yoga festival be like, can I put alcohol in this? And I was like,
Sure.
My business partner, Erica's like, sure. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. And she's, your face was just like so stunned. But I was like, you know, I guess if you want to do that, you totally could. You can do whatever you want.
How do you formulate a drink? What goes into that process?
It was, so we did like batch testing actually in Erica's kitchen with her husband. So we have a scale, we have a voltage meter, you know, to see, I think that's what it was. Because for us, it's okay. Well, this should be so easy because these are the ingredients that we want. Put them in a can. And, you know, he's the scientist and that's not how this works. It has to be stable. It has to, you know, fit all these metrics. The pH has to be just right. Mm. Blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of rules, unfortunately. And if we didn't have all of this, like my business partner, she's a partner at one of the biggest wineries and breweries in our area. So we had the connections to be able to have a canning line and, you know, have her husband as the formulator and all of these things. So I would not have done it without, because it's a lot of stuff, but we essentially were just like, okay, these are the things that we think we want in it. Let's test it out. We were just testing out like whether reverse osmosis water, a soda stream, we would mix the ingredients, blend them all together, and we just would see how they tasted. So for the cherry one, we originally wanted to do magnesium in that. So the tart cherry magnesium, and we still were going to do GABA and reishi. When we put the magnesium in, it turned blue because the magnesium actually had a cyanide reaction to the tart cherry, which is, it was a cool color, but we wanted the tart color. Like we wanted it to look like a glass of wine or something like that. I mean, the blue is kind of fun. It kind of looked like the blue spirina, like the magic magnesium. Mm. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's not what we want. But I was like, but everyone should be supplementing with magnesium. So let's put something different in there that people don't typically do. So that's where we turned to the GABA, because it didn't turn. It mixed really well, you know, because you're looking at like how well did things mix? Is it, does like a B vitamin that's in the lemon one, does that change the taste? Does it change the flavor? Does it change the consistency? There's so many things that I would have never thought about. But it's honestly very interesting to have that. Or like, how strong do we want to make the concentrate of the tart cherry? Do we want it? How sweet do we want it? How much sugar? We didn't want a lot. So
that's cool.
All of these different things. But you're, that's also why it's kind of taken. Yeah, I'm a scientist. Thank God for Justin. I mean, he really like is great, because we can kind of give him the parameters like, oh, we would need like the citric acid, right? That helps a lot with the pH, and that helps a lot with the balance. We don't have to use that actually anymore now, but when we did, I'm like, okay, well, we're not using a traditional citric acid. We want to use like a cassava based, not a corn based. And so we did that. But then actually when we reformulated, we added a little bit more, I forget what we did, lemon or something. And it kind of was able to take away the use of the citric acid. Lemon's obviously more expensive, but it was worth it.
Wow. Which flavor are you drinking right now, Kate?
The cherry lemon vanilla is my all-time favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's definitely your favorite.
It's so good.
I'm always drinking this one. And Joey loves the lemon one, though.
He does.
Yes. So it's nice because then he won't drink mine.
There you go.
I won't drink his. And we can have our own. But yeah, we're obsessed with them. They're so good.
Thank you.
Yeah, wow. And if Joey approves, then that's a tough parameter.
If Joey approves, that's like, yeah.
He definitely approves.
That's the ultimate compliment.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. They're so good. Everyone should check them out. Can you tell people where they can find you on the internet?
Yep. I'm at Dr. Haley Schaff on Instagram and TikTok. And then you can find Sunna at Drink Sunna, Sunna. And yeah, we just hit a year. We ship nationwide within the US. We're in, actually, there are some wholesalers, I feel like, in the Midwest that we're in.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They're like small little boutiques, like little like kind of NA shops and stuff. We'll pick them up. We're in like a lot of places. We're in like a Whole Foods, or I wish Whole Foods. We're in like a health food store here and in Ithaca. So we're definitely in bigger spaces, kind of more like in Western New York. But we're hoping also within this next year, like we can kind of start rolling some others, because once we got our shelf life study back and everything, that's kind of what we were waiting to like really push that to some bigger stores.
Maybe we'll see you on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
That would be so cool.
Kate and I will come be your models off to the side.
Yeah.
What?
We'll be your models off to the side.
Yeah. You're invited. That would be so cool. I loved that show growing up. And even now.
I still love it.
I remember always watching that on Friday nights. That was like the highlight of the week.
I think you'd want Mr. Wonderful. I'm trying to think who's in the drink space.
I know. I'm like, who would I want? Mark Cuban could be good, because he could get us into all the sporting.
He's not on the show anymore. He quit.
He's not.
He quit. Oh. Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while then.
I haven't either.
It's just this new season that started. Oh. He's not on.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
I gotta catch up and do my research then and see who we want.
Yeah, you never know when they're going to call you.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I might get a call right now.
Yeah.
You better start working on your pitch.
I guess maybe push it out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on again. And I'm sure we'll have you on a different day because I want to talk about like parasites and stuff too.
Oh, yeah. How did we not mention that?
I know.
That's all right.
We were just really yapping about real life.
Yeah.
Instead of asking you our questions.
Social media etiquette.
Yes. We'll have you back on to answer all the health questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, because you know a lot. You got that big old brain.
We're like
over
the parasite cleansing and coffee enema connoisseur. So that would be a good back and forth.
Yes, I love a good coffee enema. I love a good coffee enema. I kept asking my midwife when I was pregnant. I was like, "Can I do a coffee enema?" She's like, "I don't know." I'm like,
okay, I honestly
I didn't while I was pregnant because she said her only concern was the caffeine accelerating the baby's heart rate. Maybe. And so I was like, okay, fine. But I definitely did them breastfeeding. So
definitely right after birth, you're just doing a coffee enema.
I actually had a goal not to do a coffee enema in labor, but a water enema because, you know, you empty out, like you poop a lot in labor to make room for the baby. But once my goal was to do it when active labor started. But once active labor started, I was like, I'm good. No. I can't do that right now. But
I'm good.
Next time I'll do it in early labor.
There you go.
For sure. Because I definitely, they were fishnetting my tub a lot.
Oh my gosh. Getting
scooping poop out, but that's okay. Okay, on that note, thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody.
That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered.